today's message is remembering some history. Can you do it with me one more time? Remembering some history. So Raj pulled out the old scrolls. Here we go. We're looking into some history. Jude gives us three examples from the Old Testament who rebelled against God's authority. We're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7. If you have your Bible, you can open up right there. Otherwise, you just watch it on the screen. So, he wrote about three Old Testament examples that rebelled against God's authority, and that's what apostasy is. We've learned in this little book a fancy word called apostasy is what this little book's about. Apostasy is a deliberate turning away and a departing from the faith. Can you say that with me? Apostasy is a deliberate turning away and departing from the faith. The Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it, ain't gonna fly. You have a choice. You have a Bible to believe it or not. You have a Bible that you can say, I believe all of it. Or you can say, oh, I believe part of it or some of it. But you're the one who's going to stand before God and give an account to Him one day according to what's in this book on how you responded to what He wrote to you in this book. Not just the little book of Jude, the whole book. So that's why you ought to read it to encourage yourself every day, but you ought to read it to find out what God expects. You ought to read it to find out what God says. Now, this is going to be tough. I'm going to tell you that right now. So if you need to get, good thing we got handles on these seats. Amen. Here we go. The point that Jude is going to make in today's message and in these three verses and in this whole book, quite frankly, is that God judges apostasy. God doesn't think it's cute whenever we move away from what the Bible says. It might grow a church faster. It might make people like you more in the community. But God's not up there going, look at that. They're doing a good job because look at that big crowd they've got there. But they're not preaching my word. I think that's a problem. And that's what Jude says will happen in the last days. God will have the last word. Can you say that with me? God will have the last word. It's going to happen. And so we lay out the message, remember some history. So let's go with three examples. There are three examples. Now, he gives many more. We're going to see them in the weeks to come. He gives different things going on. But right now, three Old Testament examples. The first example that he gives of turning away, departing from the faith, is the nation of Israel. Now, are y'all all right so far? Have I bored you to tears? You still okay? Well, hang in here, because we're here to learn. The first example he gives of turning away is Israel. So let's remember some history about Israel. He says in verse 5, I will put therefore you in what? Remembrance. Remember some history. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people, that's the people of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, afterward he did what to them? Destroyed them that did what? Believed not. That's really what this book is about. This little book of Jude is about those who believe something other than what the Bible says. And he's giving us examples that God will not tolerate that. And he starts with Israel, because many of those who have professed Christ in the early church were Jewish believers in Christ now. And that's who he was dealing with. So he goes back to, first thing they know real well, Israel. This is my wife's favorite verse in the Bible, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's what Jude said. If you're going to have a faith in God, especially in the last days, and you don't turn away from faith, you're going to have to earnestly contend for it. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight yourself for crying out loud. We're the worst ones, aren't we? Our faith can just go astray. Fight, he says. So, he gives the example of Israel. Let's do a little history right quick. Israel was delivered from Egypt by the power of God. How many remember that? Moses told Pharaoh what? Let my people go. And finally he did. And they went down to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea what? Parted. And they walked over on what? Dry ground. And the Egyptians were what? Drowned in the sea. Y'all even know it, and y'all won't even know it. Remember some history. What happened when Israel got in the land? They were brought to the border of the promised land, the nation of Israel. And then the people were afraid. They didn't have the faith to go on into that new land and possess it. Did you know part of apostasy in our life, in your life, my life, is just not believing the promises of God's Word? There's so much there in that book for you if you'd believe it. If you'd hang on to it. If you'd grab hold. Oh, no, that can't be true. Well, that might be good for somebody. Ain't good for me. That was their sin. There was the land. Here it is. Go get it, boys. And they were scared to death. Remember what happened? They sent 12 spies into the land. Y'all remember this from Sunday school? Say. And a little song was written. 10 were bad and 2 were what? Good. The two ones that came back with a good report, their names were who? Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 gave a bad report. The Bible calls it an evil report. God said, that's your land, you can have it. They came back and said, there's no way. There's giants in the land. No way we can take this land. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. I want that mountain. And he was an old rascal. Caleb was. I want that mountain. Amen? And the people refused. They were scared to death. Now keep looking. We're talking about keeping the faith. Moses and Joshua and Caleb, they tried to get the people to obey by faith, but the people refused. Matter of fact, here's what the people did. The tribal leaders in the nation of Israel, they actually wanted to go back. They wanted to organize. They wanted to go back where? Somebody tell me. Egypt. Matter of fact, the Bible says, they said, we want to go back there and we want to eat the leeks, the melons, the onions. Now here's the promised land. Caleb and them said it flows with milk and honey. And they want to go eat leeks and onions? See, God just doesn't think when we don't obey His Word and see His promises as ours and as the Word of God. He doesn't go, oh, poor, pitiful, oh, you just, no. That is offense. That's offensive to God. Are y'all listening or not? Well, I want just the onions. Well, I can't help it. I can't change my life. I have to keep living in sin. I have to keep doing the things I've always done. I have to keep talking like this way. Listen, you know what God says? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. Shut up. You can grow, man. You can change. With me, all things are possible. But we don't possess the land. And that's a form of unbelief. And according to the verse my wife likes, it's impossible to please Him if we don't have what? This series is called Keeping the Faith in Tough Times. You can lose a job and lose your faith. You can, go through hard times in marriage and somehow lose your faith. There's not going to be like, okay, yeah, you had it rough over here. It's okay, we'll forget. God says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the what? World. You can make it. Come on. So He is not happy with Israel. So not obeying and moving forward by faith on what God's written word says is rebellion against the Word of God and against God's will in your life. And that's what we're learning from this history lesson from Israel. So what happened to Israel? Did they get a pass? No, they wandered in the desert 40 years. Is that true? Somebody tell me. I'm going to be ugly. There's some of you here that are 70 years old, 80 years old, 60 years old. You've wandered in the desert your whole life. And you're still sitting here, and you're not moving forward in God's work for your life and God's will for your life. Hey, I hate to break the news to you. Not long, you're going to be dead. Excuse me. Why don't you get with the program if you're here listening to my voice and say, the last years I've got, I want to live in the promised land. You listening? Young person, you got your life ahead of you. Listen, you've got the promised land ahead of you. But you can screw your life up. You can live your life yourself and God will go, fine, have at it. And you'll wander in the desert 40 years. And you'll look back over your life going, what the heck did I do with my life? God has a better life for you. And this ain't some prosperity mumbo jumbo. This is just the Word of God, friend. Y'all cool so far? Every person 20 years or older died somewhere in that 40-year period. They didn't get to go to the promised land. Oh, God says, okay, you're scared. You had a good report. You refused a good report. Okay? And the funny thing is, if you look at the Israeli wanderings of Israel in the desert, it's not a big area. They were always close to the promised land. But they just wandering like a, you know, bee, like the Daytona 500 or something. And never got in. They died. Their unbelief led to their what? Extermination. That's the history lesson God's trying to tell us. Church, if you don't believe in me, you'll die. You'll die in your faith. You'll die in your sins. You better preach the book. Better stay with the book. You ain't going to make it. That's what this is telling us. What's Jude's point under the Holy Ghost? Here's what he's saying. If you follow false teaching, you'll face God's judgment. Oh, I like that guy. He's really nice. I like what he says. Is it biblical or not? Yes or no? No, but he smiles pretty. Is it biblical or not? Say. Okay? If it's biblical, praise the Lord. If it's not biblical, boo. Y'all listening? Let's try that. If it's biblical, if it's not, boo. It's what God's word says. Oh, that's not very nice. God really don't care about a whole lot of nice when it comes to it. He values the word, his word above his own name. And his name is holy, holy, holy. Can you believe it? Okay, so let's keep going. So remembering some history. Let's look at number two. Just a little note before we get to number two. Wherefore let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he what? Fall. This is a warning for all of us. Big shot preachers who like me who preach God, just get up here and we're going to preach the book. People of faith today that think we're just standing so strong, you take heed lest you fall. Amen? Stay in the hard times and the tough times. Stay close to God. Don't follow false teaching. A lot of the worst false teaching we'll ever face is not some preacher preaching. It's just, it's between our two ears. Don't we rationalize, say, have we done that? Well, I know the Bible says that, but you know, but it's my situation. You know? And so we start thinking like that, right? You know? Yeah, they're just judging me. Hey, don't worry about them. Just worry about him. What does the word say? So let's go with the second example. And this is spooky. This is crazy. Get ready. Fallen angels. So he gives the example of Israel, and now he gives the example of fallen angels. What is up with that? So let's look at it right quick. Verse 6, I didn't make it up. There it is right there. Look. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but they left their own habitation. He, that's God, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. What is that talking about? We need to remember some history. Let's look. God says in his word to Jude, I judged Israel. I judged fallen angels. Okay, they turned. 2 Peter says the same thing. And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So you got it twice right there. Amen? So keep looking. Isaiah 14, what is this talking about? Let's do a little review of history. Isaiah 14 talks about Satan and his fall. Verse 12, how art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Wow, that's tough talk, ain't it? Oh, Ezekiel has something to say about it. Look at Ezekiel. 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of life. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy the old covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at you. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's tough. Fallen angels. Satan, fallen angels. That's what Jude mentions. Revelation says, in his tail, Satan drew the third part of the stars of heaven, or angels, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Keep going. Talking about fallen angels. I know I switched gears here. Y'all still all right? Where are fallen angels today? Satan's at free to work in this world. Is that what the Bible teaches? Sure. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the who? Devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So Satan is in this world. Okay, where are fallen angels? Well, an army of angels fell with him. Okay? And they still are at work today. If you don't believe in evil, turn on the TV. If you don't believe in evil, pick up the paper. Most heinous, most evil things you ever heard about. They're saying spring breakers aren't even going to go to Mexico this year. Why? Because there's so many people being shot to death down there. You hearing that on the news? Say, just drive by and shoot 50 people. Oh, there's evil. The devil's alive and well on planet Earth. I'll tell you that right now. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So where are fallen angels? Satan's here. Fallen angels are here. But wait a minute. Some of these fallen angels are already confined to hell. What does that word hell mean? It means, at least in the Greek word right there, it means mysterious underworld. I can't explain hell. If you ask me to come up and explain it, where it is, how is it located? But does the Bible teach there's a place called hell? Somebody tell me. What's one of the first things to go in a church that is apostate? They no longer believe that there is a what? And Jude mentions that. He mentions, you remember some history. Not only is there a hell, but there's some angels already chained in it. Don't ever forget it. There's a special section in hell where some fallen angels are chained right now. I don't understand all that, but I do know this. Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. How can I in my faith or in my belief now somehow not believe in that? Because you can't reach people if you ever talk about that. Oh, they will hate that. My own sister tells me this. I said it last week. You're not going to preach at hellfire and brimstone, are you? Well, if I come across it, we will. I want to warn you not to go there. Who wants to hang out with these folk chained up in another room over there? Say, I don't want to be there. I don't want you to be there. There's a place called hell. All of these, including Satan, all of these angels, including Satan, will ultimately be judged by God. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah and praise the Lord and say some praise like this? Come on! Thank you! Amen! So, what's the Bible say? Revelation 20. Boy, you need to read the Bible. It's good stuff. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This is in the end times. Where the beast and false prophet are, they shall be tormented forever, for day and night, forever and ever. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So that's how he ends up. Amen? But he's alive and well now. Now here's Jude's point about this fallen angel stuff. Israel, they didn't have the faith to believe the promise. These angels, they rebelled against God. Satan did. They did. I don't understand all that. It's in the Bible. God judges rebellion. He will not spare those who reject his will and his word. That's what Jude's trying to teach us today. He will not spare those who reject His will and reject His word. Does that make sense? Anybody look like I've lost some of you? That means if Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. You know what that means? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man will come to the Father but by Jesus. You see what that means? Well, what about all these other religions? My question back is, what about them? That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to teach what this word says. And that's what the Bible teaches. Now, here's the point. Also, if God judges angels, He'll not spare you, fool. And He ain't going to spare me. Oh, I'm Gary. I'm from Rockingham. That's the point. Remember history. His own people He judged. Israel. His own created angels He judged. But you're going to get by from turning from the faith? Or somebody's going to get up another way? What did Jesus say of somebody that tries to get to heaven another way? They're the same as a what? Thief and a what? Robber. That's right. This is pretty consistent through the Bible. Keep looking. I know things are tough right now in our world, and I actually question myself being so strong today because I know a lot of people are hurting. I'm talking about keeping the faith in tough times. But you know what? I think we need strong coaching and teaching when we're in the tough times. I don't usually run to somebody when I got tough times that's just going to pat me on the head. If my back's against the wall and I need to make decisions, I'm going to go to somebody that's probably going to shoot straight with me. They love me in love, but they'll say, you're about to go off a cliff, Jack. Here's the way. Walk in it. And that's what I think we need in tough times. When we see the news, when we see our world, you need to see the Bible. Amen? Increase your faith in tough times. The last example is this. Sodom and Gomorrah. Whoa. These weren't but three verses. 5, 6, 7. Look at verse 7. God's talking about judging those that depart from the faith and go after another way other than what His Word teaches. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, they're set forth as a what? Remember some history. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We're going to roll through this pretty quick. Peter says this as well, by the way. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live what? Ungodly. It's very popular in the church today, and you're probably going to get mad at me, it's very popular in the church today for preachers not to get on to you at all about the way you live your lifestyle. If you want to shack up, that's all right, just come give your money. If you want to have sex, if you're a male, have sex with a man, or a woman, have sex with a woman, that's okay, no big deal, you know, we're here for everybody, we got that, we're a rainbow. You know what? That's probably pretty effective, but it's not biblical. That's no way to grow a God-centered church. That's no way for lives to be radically changed. And so, He puts this stuff in the book. He gives us this example. And this isn't for us when we go through this to pick on people. This is for us to see, where am I at in this picture, Lord? Where am I at in my faith screwing up? Where am I at falling away? I don't want to do that, God. Y'all cool? Let's look at it. Describing Sodom and Gomorrah, here's what Jude said. He said they gave themselves over to fornication. That's illicit sexual behavior. They indulged in the pursuit of lust. This became a way of life for them. Just living in this way of life. Thinking this is okay. The Bible goes on to say, they went after strange flesh. The word actually means different flesh. Not only was there sexual immorality going on, but it was a strange sexual immorality. They indulged, the Bible says, in unnatural acts. It wasn't even part of God's creative plan. Y'all understand? Here's what the Bible says for people that will say there's nothing in the Bible about homosexuality or illicit moral behavior. Are you, who are you kidding? Okay? Not only is it in the Bible, it's in the Bible many times. It's referred to by many prophets and Jesus and others. Okay? Romans 1, just a little bit. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness. And that's the whole point of apostasy. God will give you up. He's God, we're not. He doesn't need us. Are y'all getting that message or what? I need Him. I'm the one screwed up, not Him. So I need to do it His way, not my way, because my way ain't working. That's the point of the Bible. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what apostasy is. Changing, thus says the Lord, and this says Gary, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust one to another. The Bible's very clear what God condemns here. Men with men working that which is what? Unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. God gives three examples: Israel, fallen angels, Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? If you want to live a certain lifestyle, you live in America. You can find a church who will tell you that's okay. The Bible doesn't teach anything wrong with what you're doing. Matter of fact, God loves you and made you just like you are. You ever heard that? Yes or no? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we're made in the image of God. The Bible says Adam sinned and fell, and we've all sinned. The Bible says because of sin, we're doomed. That's why Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the dead. We put our faith in Him and Him alone. We can be saved. We can have again fellowship with God, which was broken because of our sin. That's what the Bible teaches. That is it. But if you want to go somewhere where you can feel good about yourself and about your sin, there's plenty of places to do that. The Bible calls that apostasy. That's tough, ain't it? Leviticus 18, just a couple of scriptures. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's a what? An abomination. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So this is what God teaches. God's word is not always, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what I mean? Sometimes His word says, you know, Clark, you got problems, you got issues, you're not right. You, buddy, you better repent, you better line up with me, because I can't use you if you're going to be defiling yourself. That's what the Bible teaches. Keeping the faith in the tough times. These cities were set forth as an example, Jude says. Keep looking. That word set forth as an example means to expose openly in public view. The actual Greek phrase here, the word means this. It means to a dying corpse lying in state. God gives us these examples, and He gives us the example of Sodom and Gomorrah so that we can see how dead this is, how wrong this is. Okay? So He opens it up to us. Now here's the point that's going to push you and me. Interestingly, Sodom and Gomorrah do not exist today. I've been there many times to the Dead Sea. I've stuck my hands in the mud. I've got all muddy and everything. They say that's where it existed. Good chance that black stuff is the ash from Sodom. I don't know. You can only read about them in the what? Pages of the what? So that puts you on the spot. Do you believe the Bible or not? You believe that God made all this up? Yes or no? You believe He's just trying to play a sick joke on people? Or do you think He's giving you something? He's pushing you right to the edge. He says, let me tell you something. You going to believe me or not? Because this is where you find this information, in the pages of the Word of God. And that's with apostasy too. You're going to have mess in your life. False teaching's going to come your way. Your own head's going to screw you up sometime. But it all gets back to who you're going to believe. Yourself, somebody else, or God. Okay? Jude's point. God created mankind and will judge those who choose to indulge in what is clearly called unnatural in the Word of God. So He will judge, He will judge, He will judge. And I know we love to talk about God as love, love, love. I love that too, amen? But I don't think we need God as love, love, love if the church is selling out on God in the last days. Jude wanted to write love, 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 love. The Holy Spirit hit him upside the head. Shut up! You're going to find out what's happening. And so he wrote this little book. So let's review. Israel rebelled against God's promise. Number two, the angels rebelled against God's throne. Number three, Sodom and Gomorrah rebelled against God's design. You've been created a certain way. That's the way God designed you. Keep looking. It's not difficult. This is me closing out now. It's not difficult to not believe God's promises. That's not any trouble at all. When I'm going through mess in my life and I read a scripture and I'm like, yeah, right. It takes no effort to not believe God's promise. Regardless of what you're going through and the trouble in your life, He's not going to give you a pass. He wants you to believe His promise. Now that's tough, ain't it? That's what God's called us to. That's why He's given you the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's not difficult to rebel against God's authority, is it? Can I get an amen? God says, don't do this. You know what I do? Ah, man, that's easy to do that. Do something that's wrong, sign me up. That's not hard. It is hard to obey God's authority, keeping the faith. It's not difficult. I'm going to say this. This is true in my life. It's not difficult to indulge in unnatural lust and fornication. When I was 12 years old, my stepdad put Playboy and Penthouse magazines right on my dresser in my room. I didn't have to hide them under the mat. No, are you kidding me? They're right there. Here, son. That man later went on and murdered my mother. Satan wanted to sift me as wheat. He wanted to have me. And to this very day, I still struggle, fellas. And I think most of the fellas in this room would go, Pastor, we know what you're talking about. So see, it wouldn't be any trouble for me to go down that path. Amen? That's not what God's will for my life is. Remember what Jude said in verse 3. We talked about it last week. Earnestly contend for the faith. What does that word mean? He says earnestly contend for the faith. It means agonize with all diligence. Though you don't want to do it, His promises, but you believe Him anyway. If it kills you, hang in there. That's what He's saying. We must, how do you agonize, preacher? Here you go. Three things. You must know what God's Word says. How in the world can you be a good athlete and play the sport if you don't know what the rules are and what's going on? Amen? In any job, you'd be required to read certain things to do your best. The Word of God, you got to read it every day. If I'm going to fight against these fallen angels, how can I do that? Read the Word every day. Number two, you must watch and pray every day. God, if there's any wicked way in me, God, help me with that. Help me to turn. Oh, God, Holy Spirit, put your finger in my life. Repent daily. Amen? Pray for help every day. God, help me today. We ain't worried about Monday. Today. Talk to Him like that. Number three, we must stand together to defend the truth of God's Word. We, as this local church, we ought to join arm in arm and stand hand in hand together and say, you know what, Pastor? If it's in the Bible, I'm with you. And I believe it. Even if it means me having to have radical change in my life. Because I know if I change for Him, it'll be a change for the better. Got to believe that. Got to defend it. But this diligence is difficult. I close with three scriptures. It's hard to be what Jude's asking us to be. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children. You've overcome them because greater is He that's in who? You than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. You can make it, man. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 6:13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what? Stand. That is the message of Jude. Now, he wanted to write a nice letter, but he didn't get a chance. God jumped in. Could you say this with me? When times get what? Would you help me like you mean it? When times get what? Do it again. When times get what? Come on. One more time. When times get what? When times are tough, oh, I'm bailing on the word. I got to go down this. Are you crazy? When times get what? Get more like a bulldog on the word of God. Amen? Eat it up, man. And use and have that in your life. One more time. When times get what? Jude said, agonize with all diligence. Amen? And God says, if you don't, it ain't going to fly. Remember some history. I think that's what we did today. Guess what? God always what? Always.